The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from ladies' magazines. Beginning with this one from Woman's Day, Ease Your Kids' Stress. The pressures children face, classes, applications, constant social media exposure, quickly add up and can put them on edge. These strategies will help you help them. Many of us remember youth as a carefree time, but today, mounting pressure to achieve leads to schedules that are stuffed with extracurriculars and heavy course loads, says Sheila Acar Josephs, PhD, a psychologist and author of Helping Your Anxious Teen. In fact, teens' stress levels often surge higher than adults during the school year, research shows. And it doesn't help that today kids are constantly interrupted by around-the-clock notifications on their phones. You can't erase their worries, but you can show them healthy ways to cope. Here's how. Start with empathy. It's tempting to downplay your child's worries in the hope that she'll see the world isn't ending, but simply listening may be more effective. It's important that your child sees that you understand and validate her feelings, says Josephs. Tell her that you see she's upset. Then, instead of jumping in with advice, sit down and brainstorm a possible solution together, which gives your child a calming sense of control. That way, if you do eventually offer advice, she'll be more likely to feel that you're on her team and hear you. Help him find perspective. Children can be a tad, okay, super dramatic. If they score poorly on a test, they might think, I'll always fail. Kids are more prone to extreme thinking when under stress, says Josephs. Ask gentle, leading questions such as, could it turn out more positively than you expect? And what might happen instead of what you fear? This will teach him to take a step back and view the situation more accurately. Make sleep a priority. Reserve the half hour before bedtime for relaxing, says Lynn Merck, PhD, staff psychologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. That means no homework or phones in bed. Encourage her to dim the lights, play soft music, or read. Anything that helps her disconnect from tech and prep for a night of peaceful slumber. Children, like adults, can deal better with stress when they're well rested. Teach deep breathing. This slows the heart rate and relaxes tense muscles, sending a message to the brain that everything's okay, says Merck. Sit with your child and together, inhale through your noses for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 1 to 2, and then exhale slowly for 5 or more. Repeat for 5 to 10 breaths. Practice when he's calm so he can call on this technique in moments of stress. And last, create space for pure fun. Support unscheduled activities like spontaneous get-togethers with friends, a random 80s sing-along in the kitchen, or a hike. This reminds kids that not everything is about competition or excelling, says Merck. From Real Simple, now what? Smart fixes for life's little disasters. Disaster number one, raccoons are getting into my garbage. The fix, make sure there's no trash outside the can and seal your bin tightly by wrapping 2 bungee cords in the shape of an X or a plus sign over the lid, says Brent Lopez of Zepol Labs, a pest control product manager in Elk Grove, California. This will help keep raccoons from getting inside the can, even if they can manage to tip it over. Once a month, apply an all-natural rodent or small animal repellent to the base of the can and other areas you won't touch. Reapply after rainfall. Try a product made with peppermint oil. For a DIY solution, place a few cotton balls soaked in either peppermint oil or chili pepper oil in the bottom of the can. Raccoons don't seem to like the strong taste or scent of these ingredients, so they'll probably stay far away. And the other little disaster, my pencil skirt rotates during the day. The fix, this often happens when the skirt is too small for the top that's tucked into it. Ensure a skirt is the right size before buying it, says Jesse A. Juni, a stylist in New York City. One finger should fit comfortably between your body and the waistline of the skirt. If you plan to tuck in a thick sweater, 2 fingers should fit. In a pinch, try attaching your skirt to your top or tights with a safety pin. For a more permanent fix, stitch a non-slip gripper into the waistline of your skirt. Silicone clothing tape with adhesive backing, found in some strapless bras, works well. Try Pearl non-skid clear elastic, available for $15 from Amazon.com. From Family Circle, Mind Over Menopause. There's a new way to avoid yelling at your kid when your hormones go haywire. Mindfulness may reduce menopause symptoms like irritability and depression, according to a new study. Stress is woven into the fabric of menopause, says the study's lead author, Richa Sood, MD, a woman's health specialist at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. But the more frantic you feel, the more likely mindfulness can reduce symptoms. The study didn't focus on a particular type of mindfulness practice, but Sood suggests anything that helps you feel present, such as taking slow, deep, ideally patience-restoring breaths whenever your mind starts to feel jumbled. A relaxed yoga flow and long hot shower may also help. From Women's Day, organize your financial life. Taking control of your money doesn't require an advanced degree. Here's how to tidy up every part of your pocketbook. 1. Be on the same page as your partner. More than half of couples argue about money, according to a 2018 Fidelity survey. And those who are concerned about debt tend to clash even more often, with 46% saying money's their biggest relationship challenge. But avoiding financial conversations may haunt you in the long run. So take control. 90% of happy couples discuss finances at least once a month, compared with only 68% of unhappy couples, according to a TD Bank survey. To make sure you're not having the same argument on repeat, you spent how much on golf? Set aside time to talk about your aspirations and fears, suggests Mary Claire Alvine, a certified planner and author of The Family CFO, The Couple's Business Plan for Love and Money. Maybe you want to retire early, or you worry that your job is precarious. Jot goals and worries on separate lists, then merge them into a joint list with your partner. Talk as often as you think is productive, from every quarter to once a month. The exercise becomes the guide for the money decisions you'll make all year, she says. You're both working toward a unified vision, and that helps you feel more in control and more confident. These financial chats make the two of you partners in the truest sense of the word. 2. Do a credit checkup. You might think of your credit score only when dealing with a big-ticket expense, like applying for a car loan or refinancing your house. But that doesn't mean others aren't peeking at that three-digit number. Insurance companies, cell phone carriers, utility providers, and landlords can all use your credit score to assess how financially responsible you've been in the past. And if you aren't keeping an eye on your score, you run the risk of missing fraudulent activity. So take control. Check your credit score regularly. Your FICO score, which can range from 300 to 850, is calculated based on data from the three national credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can get a free report from each bureau once a year by going into annualcreditreport.com. Mistakes that affect your credit score are more common than you might think, so review yours carefully. And to fix any inaccuracies, file a dispute. Then sign up for credit score monitoring through your bank or credit card or at a site like Credit Karma. This type of monitoring won't impact your score and can help you build habits like using auto pay for bills that could create a stronger number, says Allison Norris, a certified financial planner at SOFI. Next, be ready for emergencies when you're confronted with some sort of emergency, whether natural disaster or unexpected job loss. The last thing you need is to be scrambling to figure out where your financial papers are, says Kathy Longo, certified financial planner and author of Flourish Financially. So take control. Once a year, block out a few hours to gather and review all your important financial documents. Longo suggests taking inventory of insurance policies, including medical, life, home, and auto, bank and investment statements, recent federal and state tax returns, statements for your mortgage and any lines of credit or other major debts, and your will, powers of attorney, and any trusts. Store everything in one secure spot in your house, like in a locked file cabinet or safe. And consider making copies and stashing one set elsewhere, such as in a security deposit box at your bank. If stepping back to figure out what policies or paperwork might be missing feels overwhelming, consider calling in a pro. It's nice to talk through all these pieces as a part of a holistic financial plan so you can really see how they all work together for you, says Jessica Landis, a certified financial planner and assistant vice president at Janney Montgomery Scott. You can find a fee-only financial planner in your area or with particular expertise at napfa.org. Next, stare down your debt. 65% of people with debt don't know how long it will take them to climb out of it, according to a recent creditcards.com survey. But if you're serious about slaying the debt dragon, you have to know how big a beast you're fighting. So take control. First, figure out what you owe, then make a plan to pay it down steadily. Maybe you pull together another $100 a month by carpooling with a friend instead of filling your gas tank, or you babysit a few nights a month. That extra $100 can make a real dent in your debt. If, like the average American with credit card debt, you owe $6,929 on your card with a 17.15% APR, making monthly payments of $400 instead of $300 will shave your repayment plan from 29 months to just 21 months. That's like getting 8 months of freedom back, says Alvine. Plus, it's hugely motivating to watch that balance go down. Think about what will motivate you in the long haul, then attack either your biggest or your smallest debt first. Next, review monthly expenses. Quick, how much do you spend on subscription services like cable, Netflix, and Blue Apron every month? When Waterstone Management Group put that question to a group of 2,500 people, 84% underestimated their totals, and more than half of those consumers were off by $100 or more. Take control. Grab your latest bank statement and highlight every expense that gets paid on autopilot. Then spend a few minutes evaluating how much value you actually get from that subscription or service each month. If you can't imagine family movie nights without Netflix, then keep it. But if you haven't flipped on a show in months, cutting the service is an effortless way to keep your money, more money, in your wallet. Don't assume the amount of every wanted expense is fixed either. You can call the provider to ask for a better deal or consider Trim at asktrim.com. When you upload or email a recent bill to the site, a member of its team contacts, say, a cable or internet company on your behalf. It can also cancel unwanted subscriptions if you like. If it snags you a better deal, Trim keeps a commission of 33% of your annual savings. Last month, users saved a cool $1 million using the site. Next, from Family Circle, help yourself. Cultivate an alter ego. Want to be braver, calmer, more ambitious? In his new book, The Alter Ego Effect, Todd Herman explains how to instantly become your best self. Linya, you say alter egos can be real people like the Dalai Lama, superheroes like Wonder Woman, or animals like a panther, and that we have their qualities inside us. How do we channel those powers? Todd, it could be as simple as what you're wearing. There's a Batman effect study where 4 to 6-year-olds were asked to work on a puzzle. It was unsolvable, but the researchers wanted to see how long the kids would stick it out. Then the researchers rolled in a rack of costumes, and there was a Batman costume and a Dora the Explorer costume. The kids picked one and then tried another unsolvable puzzle. The kids dressed in costume stuck with the puzzle longer, and their self-talk changed. Instead of saying, "Oh, I quit," They said things like, Batman wouldn't quit, so I'm not going to quit. Adults have been inhibited by all these years of acting your age, and it's holding us back. What's unique about using this technique to be braver in a work meeting, more loving toward your partner, or less panicked if your kid gets injured in a baseball game? Well, most people's experience with personal development is that you have to go journal things out and take long time to build new habits. The alter ego effect is immediate. You're tapping into a power, your imagination, and that's larger than your critical thinking skills. So if you're super engaged with the idea of being Michelle Obama, in a moment you will be. The interviewer asks, people can probably imagine how this concept can make somebody reserved like Beyoncé become captivating on stage, like her alter ego, Sasha Fierce. But how can a regular mom benefit from an alter ego? And Todd says, we all have those moments when we get so caught up in the emotional experience of our kids pushing us to our limits, and then we end up saying or doing something we regret. If I didn't have an alter ego, I'd snap and then beat myself up over 50% of my parenting life. But because I act through my alter ego, Mr. Rogers, it's 10 to 15%. For my kids, it's a very big difference. Interviewer asks, how do you trigger an alter ego? Answer, by finding a totem or an artifact to help embody and activate it. In the book, this is the interviewer, you mention a woman who bought a pair of Oprah's shoes at a charity sale and put them on when she wanted to feel confident. You wear glasses even though you have 20/20 vision. What else do you use? And he answers, when I walk through the door of my home, I have a little ritual. I take a deep breath and I snap on a bracelet that one of my daughters made me with her and her siblings' initials on it. That's my little trigger, where it's like, now it's fun time. The interviewer asks, parents of teenagers need to have really difficult and important conversations about sex, drugs, drinking. To me, that parallels how people will use alter egos when getting up on a stage to give a speech or a presentation. Does the alter ego technique help you stop avoiding those conversations? And Mr. Todd says, absolutely. That's what I refer to as the moment of impact, an opportunity for something great to be created. So many times, people are trying to get the script right in those moments, but it's really about just setting the stage. Mr. Father of Three, Todd Herman, is an author, speaker, and performance coach who has worked with Olympic athletes, Navy SEALs, and business leaders across the globe. Real Simple has road-tested hummus for us. We dipped into 50 pots of hummus, so trust us, these are the six to keep stocked for snack time. The best plain Whole Foods Market original hummus. Tahini is the key ingredient in hummus, and this one doesn't skimp on it. A healthy dose of the nutty sesame paste results in a luscious spread, while a little tang prevents it from tasting too rich. It's $2.50 for an 8-ounce tub at Whole Foods. The best spicy, Sabra Supremely Spicy Hummus. Stir the blend of chopped chilies, garlic, and spices into the classic chickpea base for assertive heat in every bite. $4 for a 10-ounce tub at grocery stores. The best red pepper, Cava Roasted Red Pepper Hummus. The deep copper color, hint of smoke, and mild sweetness set this dip apart. Ground chia seeds keep it smooth. It's $5 for 8 ounces at grocery stores. The best bean hummus, Roots Lima Bean Hummus. Seasoned with parsley, lemon, and tamari, this pick is made with lima beans in place of the usual garbanzos for a unique green color and fresh flavor. $5 for 8 ounces at grocery stores. The best lemon, Tribe Lemon Rosemary Hummus. Bright with lemon and subtle with rosemary, this whipped hummus is so spreadable we take it on sandwiches instead of mayo. $3 for 8 ounces at grocery stores. And the last one, the best seeded, that means with seeds, I suppose, Cedars, C-E-D-A-R, Cedars Foods, Everything Hummus. Be on the lookout for this selection. For now, it's available in only 20 states. You get all the flavors of the beloved bagel with the schmear built right in. $4 for 8 ounces at select grocery stores. We move now to some food we can make ourselves. From Good Housekeeping, eggs for all occasions. Teach your kids to make these super easy scrambled eggs, then request them for your birthday. First, best ever scrambled eggs, active and total time 10 minutes. You need 8 large eggs, kosher salt and pepper, 1 tablespoon olive oil or unsalted butter. In a large bowl, whisk together the eggs, 1 tablespoon of water, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat oil or butter in 10-inch non-stick skillet on medium. Add the eggs and cook, stirring with rubber spatula every few seconds to the desired doneness, 2 to 3 minutes for medium-soft eggs. This serves 4. And we have 4 tasty variations on that. First, migas. Fold 1 cup crushed tortilla chips, 1/4 cup pico de gallo, and 2 ounces pepper jack cheese shredded into the scrambled eggs. Or Old Bay. Before scrambling, whisk 1 teaspoon Old Bay seasoning into the eggs, then scramble as directed. Fold in 1 cooked diced russet potato and 4 ounces thinly sliced kielbasa, both browned. Sprinkle with chopped parsley. Then there's the trout and creme fraiche variation. Fold 1/4 cup creme fraiche, then 1/2 cup flaked smoked trout, and 1/2 of a small red onion, thinly sliced, into the scrambled eggs. Dollop with additional creme fraiche. And the last variation, Gruyere bacon and spinach. And that's the one they have pictured here, and it does make me hungry. Before scrambling, whisk 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard into the eggs, then scramble as directed. Fold in 2 slices thick-cut bacon, cooked and broken into pieces, 2 cups spinach, torn, and 2 ounces Gruyere cheese, shredded. From Woman's Day, matzo. It's not just a bland cracker. We've challenged our test kitchen pros to liven up this Passover staple. So first up, we've got matzo brittle. Active time is 15, total time also 15. Serves 12 at a cost of 25 cents a serving. You need 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 1/2 cup light corn syrup, 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 2 teaspoons finely grated orange zest, 2 sheets of matzo broken into 1-inch pieces, about 2 cups, 2 tablespoons chopped shelled pistachios, and 1/2 teaspoon flaky sea salt. Line a rimmed baking sheet with parchment. Coat with nonstick spray. In a medium saucepan, fitted with a candy thermometer, bring sugar, corn syrup, and 2 tablespoons water to a boil on medium, stirring occasionally to dissolve the sugar, 1 to 2 minutes. Continue cooking, swirling the pan occasionally. Do not stir until the temperature reaches 290 degrees, about 5 minutes. Mix in butter and salt and cook, stirring often, until butter is melted and temperature is 300 degrees, about 2 minutes. Vigorously mix in baking soda, then zest and matzo. Immediately pour onto prepared baking sheet and spread as thin as possible. Sprinkle with pistachios and salt, then let cool and break into pieces. Then they have a cheesy baked spinach and feta casserole. Active time 15 minutes, total time 30. Serves 4 to 6 at a cost of $1.87 a person. You need 1 1/4 cups part skim ricotta cheese, 4 ounces of feta cheese crumbled, 1 large egg, 1/4 cup of milk, 1/4 teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg, kosher salt and pepper, 2 scallions finely chopped, 1 bunch of spinach, thick stems discarded and leaves chopped, about 4 cups, 4 sheets of matzo, and tomato salad for serving. Heat oven to 425 degrees. In a food processor, puree the ricotta, the feta, egg, milk, nutmeg, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Transfer to a bowl. Stir in the scallions, then fold in the spinach. Place one sheet of matzo in an 8-inch square casserole. Top with 1/3 of the spinach mixture. Repeat layering twice. Cover with foil and bake until heated through 12 to 15 minutes. Remove foil and broil until beginning to brown 2 to 3 minutes. Serve with salad if desired. From Real Simple's Cooking School, hosting a crowd, use our guide to big roasts to pick one out and cook it to perfection. First, for turkey, what to look for. Opt for a fresh turkey rather than a frozen one. Aim for about a pound a person. Apply a dry brine a couple days before you plan to roast to ensure crispy, flavorful skin and tender, flavorful meat. How to cook it? We recommend spatchcocking, removing the backbone and roasting the bird flat because it can cut roasting time in half. Baste with pan drippings every 30 minutes and look for an internal temperature of 165 degrees. To carve it, let your turkey rest for at least 30 minutes before carving. Separate wings and legs with a sharp knife. Separate thighs and drumsticks by cutting through the joint. Slice along each side of the breastbone to remove the breasts. Slice against the grain. Cut dark meat from the bone. For ham, look for a bone-in ham that'll yield moister and more flavorful meat than the boneless variety. Bet on 8 to 12 ounces of bone-in ham per person. You'll likely have leftovers. Sweet glazes are a nice contrast to salty meat. For the easiest prep, pick a ham with the glaze baked right on. If your ham is labeled fully cooked or ready to eat, you can eat it cold or heated until warm, about 140 degrees. Uncooked hams should be heated to a minimum internal temperature of 145 degrees. To carve a bone-in ham, make vertical slices perpendicular to the bone. Cut along the bone to release the slices. Boneless hams can be easily sliced through, and spiral-cut hams come pre-sliced, so are the simplest of all to serve. Brisket. What to look for? Brisket is typically divided into two cuts, the leaner flat cut and the fattier point cut. While both yield meltingly tender meat, choose a flat cut for home cooking. It tends to cook more evenly and be easier to slice. 2 to 3 hours of low, slow cooking breaks down a brisket's connective tissue. Braise it in a mixture of tomatoes, wine, and aromatics until fork tender, and let the meat cool completely in its braising liquid. This will help make it easier to slice. Once it's cool, slice the brisket against the grain. Return the slices to the braising liquid and refrigerate for up to 3 days. Reheat the meat in the braising liquid, covered, at 350 until warm. And we have from Woman's Day a great read. Foodies will find much to savor in Ruth Reichel. I'm going to spell that R-E-I-C-H-L. Her yummy memoir of her days as editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine. Recipes are included. It's available on Amazon.com and at independent booksellers, and it is called Save Me the Plums. We have run out of time for our broadcast today. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading ladies' magazines for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have comments or questions, call us, 919-832-5138. So long!